Recap of an ugly Thursday night football division game between the Cowboys and the Giants. Game picks for week four and a must win for the Baltimore Ravens. You're listening to the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros and Chris Kostic. It has been quite a while since I've been a co-host on this show. It's been a couple weeks. It's been a busy schedule for me, but appreciate you guys holding down the fort. Very strong work. I've been listening to the past couple of episodes, but Thursday night football happened, and watching that game literally made me go blind. Holy crap, was that the worst football I have seen from the Cowboys, from them facing the Giants of all teams. And this is a game where if you look at the penalties and the time of possession, this is a game that the Cowboys probably should not have won. So looking at this, I'm going to take the shades off from that corny, stupid joke. The Cowboys were dominated by the Giants in time of possession, 35 to 24, 35 minutes. The Giants had the ball. As far as penalties go, the Cowboys were penalized 11 times for 89 yards to the Giants only having four. Who ever saw the Giants being a more disciplined football team than the Cowboys? I did not see this coming. And the Cowboys, based on how ugly this game was, were lucky to come out of this game alive. They're now 2-2. I wouldn't say they saved their season, because 1-3 is, it sucks, but you can still come back from it. 2-2 really, really helps you out here. But what do you guys think here?
Yeah, you could honestly talk about the way that the Cowboys played and how undisciplined they were, but at the same time, like, the Giants didn't really help themselves out either. There was a point where this game should have it felt like the Giants should have been up by three going into that last drive for the last two drives of the game. And you basically said it. Giants dominating time of possession. And that was the game plan. That was basically the game plan, even though they couldn't run the ball at all to save their life. But they were able to make it so that Cowboys defense weren't able to get off the field. Big third down conversions that kept the drive, that kept these drives moving. And that was basically the game plan. Just time of possession, keep the Dallas offense off the field, and see what you can do. And unfortunately, they had to kick five field goals. And that's the name of the game right there. You're not going to win by kicking five field goals unless it's Washington doing it to the Giants. You're not going to be able to do that to any other team, especially a team like Dallas. So this, yeah. All in all, Giants probably could have won, but what are you going to do?
You know something? If you go around on the internet, you'll hear people say things like, it's 2024, why are you acting this way? Well, guess what, Dallas? It's 2024. Why is Mike Zimmer still the head of your defense? Seriously. You are lucky to have won this. I cannot stress enough. You know what? No. I feel if I could hand both teams an L, I would, because the Giants had more yards than them, 303 yards, Dallas's 293, not that big of a difference, but still, more first downs, more efficient on third down, converted three fourth downs, ran more plays, Dallas got 11 penalties, the Giants four, and once again, over an 11-minute difference when it came to time of possession. And for the Giants, it was relatively simple, you know, just dinks and dunks. That's really what it was. You know, the death by a thousand cuts approach, you know, just keep the clock moving. You know, just like short runs, short passes, occasionally the bomb to Malik Nabers, who got hurt, of course, but more on that in a second. It's just, all of your points came from field goals. And say what you will about Dallas, that just won't get it done against them. And this game, look, after the first half, right? You know, Dak Prescott has like two touchdowns. You know, offense is chugging along good. CD Lamb already had like, what, five or six catches? And then it just stalled out. I have no idea what happened, but I guess I want to say a change in play calling. Dallas just all of a sudden decided to play conservative. And for really, in my opinion, no good reason. Like, I don't know what happened. It's just all of a sudden they just said, okay, we got the lead. Only field goals and now we're just going to sit on our hands offensively. Sure, that strategy will beat the Giants. But will it beat the Lions, the Niners, the Vikings, the Bucks? You know, any other team that could contend for the NFC crown? Probably not. Just do better.
There's something about this team that makes me feel like they don't have much confidence in themselves. I mean, just the fact that they played conservative ball against the New York Giants of all teams. I wonder if, you know, is there any sort of injury in their offense, or if there's just coaches who are not on the same page as their players? I don't know. But I mean, when you're getting outdone in first downs to the New York Giants, and they outdid you in third downs, something seems off there. And we can say all we want about the defense. There's no reason why you should be outplayed on offense when you have Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb to throw to behind an offensive line that's been restocked. Just something seems off there. And I'm not quite sure. I think they're going to figure it out. I think they're still going to be a playoff team. And if you look at this NFC East, it looks ugly across the board. I think if the Cowboys find themselves in any way, shape, or form, I think they're going to beat out the Eagles. Eagles don't look like themselves this year. As much as I thought that they would be the division champions this year. This is an ugly division right now, and I think the Cowboys have picked the right year to have an ugly season because they may still make the playoffs with how this division looks. Do we have any other thoughts before we move on to our game picks?
Injuries, Adam.
Yeah, Chris, you're also muted.
My fault. Malik Nabers being out with a concussion is probably going to be a problem for the Giants unless he's able to be back with a long week. And Mike Parsons, the high ankle sprain, along with DeMarcus Lawrence also with a foot issue. So booking the D-line for the Cowboys is probably going to be in trouble next week.
Yeah, an already suspect Cowboys defense going to get worse. And for the Giants, Malik Nabers was your guy, your big playmaker, and that concussion is going to sideline him for at least a week or two. So,
yeah,
I mean, if anything,
that's pretty much it. Basically,
if anything, that shelves him and that does more good for the Giants than anything. I mean, what are the Giants winning this year? You know that meme of like, there's like that home and you have like the really nice sports car just sitting there on the back.
Oh yeah, next to like the trash trailer.
Next to
there.
That's Malik Nabers on the Giants. And like, there's nothing else good about this team. I guess they have good bookends on their edge rusher with Brian Burns and
Don't forget Sexy Dexy in the middle there.
Dexter Lawrence. I was going to mention him as well. That's it. They don't have anything else good about this team. They had a good rushing game, but they let Saquon go. So, I mean, they kind of tied themselves down by signing long-term this mediocre quarterback in Daniel Jones. This is what happens when you settle on mediocre quarterback play. You're kind of stuck in football purgatory for years to come. All right, we're going to move on, and we are going to go to our game picks for week four. We start with 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and then all the primetime matchups. That's next. You're listening to the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast. Adam Wright, CJ Medeiros, Chris Kostich. We are on to our game picks for week 4. And to start off, we go to our 1 p.m. games. We're going to start with the Denver Broncos at the New York Jets. So there was once upon a time a very, very strong chance that the Denver Broncos were going to end up with Aaron Rodgers. It was years ago, but they ended up trading for Russell Wilson. That it worked out how it worked out. Rodgers ended up staying with the Packers for one more year, and then he ended up saying, you know what, I'm out of here. Let's go to the Jets. His Achilles had other thoughts on the 2023 season. Now we're here. The Broncos moved on from Russell Wilson. They took Bo Nix in the first round. Aaron Rodgers is in his second year with the Jets, his first full season. And here we are. The Jets are 2-1, and they're hosting the Denver Broncos. I'm going to take the New York Jets. I think this Jets team is talented enough to, at the very least, make the playoffs. And if they really figure it out to their fullest potential, I think they should be able to contend for their division with the Buffalo Bills. I know the Bills are on fire right now, but we'll get to them later. I think they're riding a bit of a sugar high.
Yeah, the spread suggests that the Jets are going to handily win this game. They're the favorites by 8.5. I could see this. I could see the Jets winning by 3 scores in this game. It really depends on if the Jets are able to get it going on offense. Not to say that it's not to knock on the Denver defense at all. Like, they got Patrick Surtain, who's arguably the best corner in the league right now. But it's, are you really going to trust Bo Nix with this offense and having Sauce Gardner match up with Courtland Sutton? Like, it's, there's not much really going for the Broncos. This is going to be a very big beatdown from the Jets this weekend.
Yeah. So I know everybody's riding the high of the Jets after what they did in New England last week, but that's New England. You know, these are the games you're supposed to win. And these are mostly soft wins that the Jets have. Yeah, they did lose to the 49ers. But this is the Broncos. And even if the offense doesn't do a whole lot for the Jets, do we really see the Broncos offense doing anything to the Jets defense, like Chris said, with Sauce and company back there? I don't see it. This is pretty easily the Jets for me.
Yeah, this is a matchup where, you know, Bo Nix, who knows if he can play. It's his rookie year. It's very rare you see a quarterback in his first year really light it up. He got the opportunity, and it's clear he's not ready yet. But the Jets are in win now mode, and I think we can agree that they need to take every win that they can get here. Especially when you have the Broncos. When you have these easy wins offered up to you, do not take them for granted, because it could make a huge difference when you're trying to make the playoffs later in December. All right. Next matchup is the Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers, a game where it feels weird favoring the Vikings over the Packers after years of Aaron Rodgers and then last year having Jordan Love, but I don't believe Love is playing this week. He's been practicing. He's getting closer. If Love plays, I'm actually going to take the Packers. But if the Vikings, if he doesn't, then I'm taking the Vikings, and it's not close. Sam Darnold's playing the best ball of his entire career, and they have a pretty good roster around him to help. So you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to make my pick and give it to the Vikings.
Yeah, I think that for me, it's going to be very similar. If Love ends up playing, which he is getting closer to that, but I don't know if this is going to be the week that he comes back. If he does play this game, then give me the Packers. But if he's out, then it's going to be the Vikings. I don't think it's going to be by a long shot. But I do think the Vikings are going to win. And Malik Willis has played very well in terms of not screwing up, not making any mistakes. And that's been what the Packers have been leaning on the last two games, is creating a game plan where Malik Willis isn't going to make mistakes and they're going to force the other quarterback to make mistakes. So this week's going to be a little bit of a tougher task with Sam Darnold, and the way that Brian Flores is working this Vikings defense, they're covering their bases on the deep balls and forcing teams to just hammer away short, the short game, and just throw it short to, and just bore the hell out of offenses and make them start to get a little anxious back there and force them to actually take these deep shots when they really shouldn't be taking the deep shot. So I think it's going to be the Vikings on this. This is going to be the game that Malik Willis starts to make some mistakes.
You know, Brian Flores with the Vikings defense has looked amazing thus far. And these aren't soft wins. I mean, yeah, maybe the Giants or whoever they beat week one was, but then you beat the Niners and convincingly beat the Texans. And here's the thing. There's something to be said for, you know, Malik Willis playing how he is. And, you know, they're putting him in. And last week I even said they're not even playing that conservative. Like, they're letting him take shots. But there is a difference between letting Malik Willis take shots when you're up and when you're up by multiple scores versus when the game's on his shoulders and he has to, because the Vikings have the lead and you're playing from behind. I think that what we've seen with Sam Darnold might be a little more sustainable, but yeah, I would have to lean towards the Vikings here if I'm being honest.
Yeah, Sam Darnold's playing, again, he's playing the best ball of his career, and the Packers have been winning on playing mistake-free football, and they may need to do a lot more than that in order to win this football game, because the Vikings are running a good offense where they can – Sam Darnold has been able to do everything that the Vikings have wanted him to do in that playbook, which is huge. All right, we're going to move on to our next matchup, the Saints at the Falcons. Saints are 2-1, off to a pretty decent start. They could easily be 3-0 right now. The Falcons with not the best start that they could have imagined. They're 1-2. They started 0-2. Where are we seeing this game going? I'm going to move towards the Falcons. Slow start, but they're starting to gel. They're starting to figure things out. Kirk Cousins is a very capable quarterback with some good players to throw to and a pretty good offensive line and a good defense. I think this is a well-rounded team that's going to figure things out in the next couple months.
Yeah. This is a kind of a weird one. It's one of those division games that could go either way. Falcons are kind of figuring it out. Not really. I think the Saints are going to have to, they're going to be coming out firing after putting up a dud on offense last week, and now they're going on a road against potentially a much better defense than what the Eagles pose. So it's definitely going to be a tougher offensive game for New Orleans. I'm going to go with the Falcons on this one.
Oh my God. What is this game really? I mean, no one expected, I mean, after that big retool, I don't think anyone expected the Falcons to play this poorly. And on the flip side, no one expected the Saints to be this good. And honestly, I still have questions about Atlanta's defense. I really do. I mean, no offense to you guys, but I don't know. And the Saints, they just got punched in the mouth. And when you have these teams, you know, that we refer to as Cinderella teams, teams that are led by QBs that aren't necessarily the greatest, when you get punched in the mouth and you lose, these losses can come in bunches. And if I'm the Saints, I'm not hitting the panic button yet, but it's, if I had to guess, I'm probably leaning towards the probably the Falcons, for the sole reason of, I know the Saints are going to be mad if they got punched in the mouth, but we all remember what happened against the Chiefs for Atlanta. There's a very real chance that they might have gotten screwed. Yeah, you know, it's not, this isn't the time or place to discuss it, but I think the fire under them might just be a little greater, considering they actually have expectations.
Okay. So looking at our next matchup, we've got the Eagles, who are visiting the Buccaneers. Don't let that record fool you. The Eagles may be 2-1, but boy, do they not pass the eye test. They won in a shootout against the Green Bay Packers on opening night in Brazil. And then they went on to lose by 1 point to the Falcons in the at the very end of the game. And then they tried so hard to give up this victory to the Saints so many times, 15-12. This was basically a matchup of who wants to lose it more. And now we're looking at this game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're 2-1, but it's more of a good 2-1. They got ousted in their last matchup against the Broncos, but that's one ugly loss to a couple more better wins. So for me, I'm taking the Buccaneers. Things are not looking good in Philly right now.
I'm also going to go with the Buccaneers. They're going to retool on defense. They were hurt a lot, and I think they're going to get some guys back here. And Philly on offense, I mean, geez. You're probably going to be without A.J. Brown again. You're most likely going to be without Devontae Smith with a concussion. And after that, what do you have on the receiving end? A whole lot of nothing. I mean, Jahan Dotson's going to basically be your number 1/2, and that's never a good thing. So you really have to hope that Saquon feasts in this game, but Saquon can only do so much for you. So Tampa Bay for me.
I'm also going to have to go with Tampa Bay, and I will tell you why. I know what just happened with Denver. That's not lost on me. It's really not. And that happened mostly because Tampa's defense is injured. But is it really worse than the injuries Philly's offense has sustained? You're down your wide receiver 1 and 2. You're going to have to be ground and pounding more than you already are. And honestly, I would wager that Goddard's probably going to be their number one, not that Jahan Dotson guy who's a, what's the word Chris uses about Dennis Allen? He's a meep. That's what he is.
That's a new one.
Yeah. Kind of forgot I used that.
I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, the Eagles are just a team we expected to come out with a little more of a chip on their shoulder. At least I did. And I've been quite disappointed with how they've looked so far. They do have some new personnel, so maybe they figure it out later on in this season. But overall, we just discussed this earlier in the show, talking about Thursday Night Football. This is an ugly NFC East division this year. Not the best football being played. Moving to our next matchup, speaking about bad football being played early in the season, the Cincinnati Bengals are hosting the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers, they looked like they were heading towards another ugly start, which they have, but they came out with after benching Bryce Young for Andy Dalton, they got a nice win. In convincing fashion, and now here they host the Cincinnati Bengals. They are winless, 0-3, but they've looked okay on offense, at least, in the last couple of games. For this reason, the Bengals have to win this game. They need it. I mean, 0-3 is already basically a death sentence. 6% of all teams in NFL history make the playoffs after starting 0-3. And 0-4 is even worse. Only one team's ever made the playoffs after starting 0-4. So the Bengals have their backs against the wall. They're backed into a corner. And I think they're going to take this victory in convincing fashion. They need it. It's just that simple. They've looked better on offense. They've been looking better by the week. And they need this victory badly against a bad Panthers team. Give me the Bengals.
I'm also going with the Bengals. Panthers had their 1 week of fruition last week, and with Sam Darnold coming in for Bryce Young. And, you know, we talked about it on Monday or Tuesday, I should say, and how, you know, this team came into last week with a whole different energy. It's the difference of the team actually knowing that they have someone, the right person at quarterback now starting in the game. And it's a veteran quarterback like Andy Dalton, but I don't think this is going to be the same type of thing for this week. Bengals, as you mentioned, Adam, really need this game. So give me the Bengals.
It would have to be Cincy for the sole reason of they want it more. Look, Carolina, Andy Dalton's nice. That's cool. You got your nice little story for that week, but back to the basement you go is what I say. And honestly, wouldn't be shocked if Carolina keeps it close, but it's got to be Cincy, right? I mean, especially like last week on offense, how they played was really good. Word of caution, though. Bengals, if you lose, it's over. It's over. Just pack it up and start playing for next year, because I don't see it making the playoffs.
Maybe playing for a rebuild. I mean, if they lose, if this season is lost, this is not the season to have lost, because Ja'Marr Chase, you already pissed off. T. Higgins is pretty much out the door. He's done. Trey Hendrickson's already requested a trade. Do you want to piss off Joe Burrow too? If I'm Joe Burrow after this season, you're letting all of your star talent walk. I wouldn't blame him if he requested after a trade losing. In the next. Again, yes. I wouldn't blame him if he requested a trade after this season and after the next couple seasons, if that. I have a newfound respect for Joe Burrow with his patience in this franchise after the last few years. They should have been in champion contention last year. They should be one of the better organizations in the league right now. And they're already, as soon as they built the team up, it's already going to shit. All right.
It's also the first month of the season, and we all know since he's terrible in the first month of the season. So this is where they start to get the wheels turning.
Yeah, hopefully. But 0-4 is 0-4 is another level of bad. That's like, yeah, you went 0-4 for the entire month of September. You're done.
Yeah.
And I'd also like to point out, this is my third time out of the last 4 weeks. Out of these last 4 weeks, I am now picking Cincy. Just goes to show how much recency bias we have from the Bengals in the last couple of years, but it's just not looking good. Speaking of not looking good, the Jacksonville Jaguars are 0-3 themselves, a team that I picked to be in the AFC Championship last season and wanted to put a bag over my head over that. They're going in to visit the Houston Texans in our next 1 p.m. matchup. I mean, you have this Jaguars team starting 0-4? Because I kind of do. And it's hard to believe, because Trevor Lawrence, I thought, would be, as much as he has been underperforming as far as his draft status goes from 2021, he does not look like he is even a franchise quarterback anymore. And on the flip side, the Houston Texans do. I mean, like, they may be 2-1, but they look like a team that's in contention. They're at least fulfilling their expectations to be a team that is a very vertical offense. They have a bunch of different targets to throw to. They have a good offensive line, a quarterback who looks exactly like he did last year. And a good defense as well. It's a well-rounded team. The Jaguars are the opposite, a team that we thought the Texans would be. The Jaguars are exactly that. The Texans are what we thought the Jaguars were going to be last year. A team that just had so many weapons, a good young team, a good coach who's had success. but they're everything but now. So give me the Texans.
Yeah, Texans. They're coming off a bad loss against Minnesota last week. They need to get a big bounce back win. It's not a get right game just because you're going up against a divisional opponent, and anything can happen against a divisional opponent like the Jaguars. But and the way that the Texans and Jaguars have been playing each other, it's been pretty tight games. So I think it's going to be another one score game, but give me the Texans.
Texans easy. And I know they're 2-1, but here's the thing. All in all, they pass the eye test. Jags don't. That's literally what it comes down to for me.
And sometimes you need to get your ass kicked a little bit to kind of get you back in the right direction. I think that's what's going on with Houston here.
I mean, any given Sunday is a phrase for a reason. And they had an ugly loss against a hot Minnesota team. I don't think it's going to stay that way. I mean, everyone has bad games, and I think the Texans are going to pick up right where they left off from before week three, and they're going to win another game and start 3-1. And the Jaguars, the sky is falling over there. They're going to be 0-4. All right, our next matchup, this is an interesting one. We have the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Indianapolis Colts. The Steelers, everything that could go right for them this year has gone right. Literally everything. That being said, I don't think they're as good as the 3-0 record represents. Justin Fields has been playing mistake-free football. He's been playing conservative ball. Credit to him for being a functional starting level NFL quarterback, something the Bears could not do with you. I don't put all blame on Justin Fields. I think that's something I want to clarify. Don't put all blame on Justin Fields. I don't think the Bears did everything they could to help him out. That being said, I still don't think he's not a franchise quarterback. He can start in this league, as we're seeing, but they're winning on defense and playing conservative ball on offense, mistake-free. And I think that has to stop at some point. Even when it succeeds, you usually eventually lose at least a few games. So in that sense, I have the Colts winning this game. Every game the Colts have lost, they've lost by just one score. So I think this game stays close enough so that the Colts can make the throws that they need to make in order to win this game.
That's funny you say that because we're talking about Anthony Richardson here. And I don't trust Anthony Richardson against a good defense. And the Steelers have a great defense. Anthony Richardson, all he can do is throw the deep ball. Ask him to throw a slant. Good freaking luck, dude. Good freaking luck. He's not making those throws. They've been able to keep it close, but Steelers, they've been riding on the defense the entire time. And I've said this the last few weeks. They're just having Justin Fields do enough where they're fine with what they end up doing on offense. So I'm taking the Steelers on this one. I do not think that Anthony Richardson is going to have a good game against the Steelers defense.
You know, the Anthony Richardson hype, I was never the highest on him, but oh my God, the Anthony Richardson hype is really starting to grind my gears. Because, I'm sorry, he should not be starting. He needs to develop more. I know he got hurt last year, but oh my God, he is literally just a shinier version of Joe Milton. That is what he is. He can scramble decently for being a big guy. He can just chuck the ball down the field, but no, not against the Steelers defense. You can't. If you can chuck an 80-yard bomb, but you can't throw a slant or you can't throw a flat, then I'm sorry. You should be on the bench. And I think the Pittsburgh defense is going to remind you of that. Give me Pittsburgh.
Anthony Richardson completion percentage right now is sub 50%. That should tell you all you need to know.
Yeah, it's not great. I was scrolling through X on Sunday, on the game where he shat the bed. He kind of, so they said Anthony Richardson can make throws that 90% of the quarterbacks can't make, but he also can't make throws that 90% of the quarterbacks can make. He can make some unbelievable throws, but the easy ones, for some reason, he can't do. which you would think that he can, that he'll eventually figure that out. But again, as CJ said, he needs more time to develop. That being said, I still think he's capable of scoring at a high level against good defenses, because he did it week one against the Texans. Texans have a good defense and he still managed to do it. So I think this is a game where he does win it for him. He hasn't played good ball. I will be the first to admit to you that. I'm not saying he's a good quarterback right now, but I think he's capable of putting some points on the board. And I think he will do that against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think in a one score game, I'll have the Colts over the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I could be wrong. This is one of those weeks where a lot of things could just flip a coin and it could go one way or it could go another. But all kinds of unexpected things happen. I don't think the Steelers are as good as their 3-0 record indicates. I don't think they are. All right. Moving on to our next game. This is our last 1 o'clock game, I believe. Yes, that is correct. The LA Rams at the Chicago Bears. This is a matchup where the Rams, they got a much needed victory over the 49ers. A last second field goal to win it for them, to complete their comeback. The Chicago Bears, they won in week one. They lost really badly in week two against the Texans. And then week three, they did lose to the Colts. But I will say this. I liked what I saw out of Caleb Williams. I think you saw a little bit of something, just a little bit, that he's able to throw it down the field and with some form of accuracy. He threw 2 touchdowns to 2 interceptions, yes, but 363 yards. He actually was able to make the ball, to get the ball over to his playmakers, Roma Dunze most notably, and also Cole Kmet. I think that part is huge for his development. And against the Rams defense that has been horrible to start this season, I think Caleb Williams is going to get the ball to his playmakers. I'm actually going to take the Bears in this one.
The Bears offensive, they're so bad. The Bears offensive line is so bad. Oh my God. The Bears offensive line is terrible. DeAndre Swift is terrible. Caleb Williams, if he can't come up with a clean pocket for at least half of this game, the Rams are going to win. And I think the Rams are going to win this game, because the Sean McVay is going to outcoach what's his face over at Chicago, and they're going to win this game. Or Matt Eberflus over at Chicago. They're going to win this game. Rams are going to win.
For the sole reason of offensive coaching for the Bears with Eberflus and Press Taylor in a different font, aka Shane Waldron, I'm gonna have to go with the Rams, just because, like, I like McVay, and I think that the Rams defensive line, though they're younger, you know, they have guys like Fisk and Verse and that one really good guy Young, I think his name is Byron Young. I gotta go with the Rams. And honestly, if they didn't have Eberflus, I'd actually be more inclined to lean Chicago, because I think this matchup is a lot closer than a lot of people would admit. But yeah, as a whole, I'd have to go with the Rams. And by the way, side note, I did some thinking about it, and for one of my earlier picks, Falcons Saints, I'm actually leaning towards the Saints. I thought about it more, and I talked myself into the Saints. Please forgive me. Or don't. It's really up to you.
Cool. Whatever. I'm still rolling with, I just don't see the Saints winning against the Falcons, cool. But we'll agree to disagree there. I was looking for Caleb Williams pocket time, because last season that was the main issue for the Bears. I wouldn't say their offensive line was great last year, even good, but I don't think it's noteworthy that Justin Fields held the ball the longest out of any quarterback in the entire league last year. And most 80% of his sacks came where he was holding the ball for 4 seconds or longer. But I wasn't able to find that right away. All right. That was our last 1 o'clock game. And we're going to move on to our 4 p.m. and primetime matchups. That's next. You're listening to the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast. Adam Wright, CJ Medeiros, Chris Kostich. We have our first 4 p.m. matchup, which is the New England Patriots, who are visiting the San Francisco 49ers. Short and sweet here. The Patriots, in almost every metric, are one of the worst teams in football. And the 49ers are 1-2. They've lost a lot of players. They lost in heartbreaking fashion. This is a get-right game for them and not the best mixture for the Patriots. Things are not looking good on that front. I think this is going to be an easy win for the Niners. Give me San Francisco.
I don't really know if this is as easy of a game that San Fran's going to have, because Patriots defense is still a pretty good defense, and this 49ers team is beat and battered, to say the least. George Kittle placed on a limited basis on Thursday. He probably won't play. Greenlaw out. Hargrave out for the year. And then Christian McCaffrey obviously out. Debo probably going to be, has a chance to play, but good chance that he's not. Brandon Ayuk playing like dog. The only real bright spot of this offense is Juwan Jennings. Jordan Mason is good, but not to the level that you really need him to be. I'm going to go with Pats getting the upset on this one. I think Pats are going to figure out a way to get the upset. If not get the upset, they're going to cover.
We'll
the
see.
The spread's at 10, which is insane for the amount of injuries that the 49ers have. If not get the win, they're going to cover the minus 10 spread.
49ers are pissed after losing that game last week to the Rams.
I get that, but they're hurt. They're hurt. Brock Purdy's hurt.
Yeah,
I'll give you that. They're hurt.
I'll give Chris credit where it's due. I view this as the quintessential trap game for the Niners. Because, you know, contenders.
It's a crazy trap game. Crazy trap game.
No, it is. Like, this is the pure definition of trap game. But the Niners are absolutely livid at Shanahaning. I'm not even going to say choking. That is pure Shanahaning again. To the Rams. And look, in New England, their defense is the thing with New England's defense is look, they're good. They're good. And I know you could argue what happened with the Jets was an anomaly with all those missed tackles, but New England is pretty banged up in their own right. I mean, no one really talks about it because New England's not a very good team, but they've been hit hard with the injury bug. You know, Christian Barmore, both of their starting guards, Kendrick Bourne, all gone. And now they're losing linebacker Jawan Bentley, which on paper might not sound like a big deal, but he's literally their defensive signal caller. He is essentially the quarterback of their defense. And you saw what happened their first game without him. And yes, I know the Niners are injured. Kittle might not play. Debo might not play. CMC will not play. And hell, even Purdy's banged up. And on top of that, on defense, Javon Hargrave has been chucked off into the great abyss of IR. But if I'm being real, I love my Pats, but I got to go with the Niners.
Oh,
yeah. Look at Chris looking at me like that.
If the 49ers were riding a high, I would say this is definitely the pure definition of a trap game. But they're pissed off. I don't think it's hard for a game to be a trap game if they are as motivated as ever to come out and get a victory in week 4. I mean, if they fall to 1-3, they can still make the playoffs, but it's still not a good spot to be in, especially with all the injuries they're facing. If they go 2-2, then they're back in business. All right. That being said, let's move on to our next matchup. We've got We have the Washington Commanders visiting the Arizona Cardinals. Give me the Commanders, a team that has had arguably their best opening month to football, a Washington team, in its existence. Arguably, because they did have RG3 for that 1 year where he was really good. But the Commanders here, they may have found their guy. And they just had a very good victory over a competitive Bengals team. Don't let that 0-3 record fool you. Still have played very good ball the last couple of weeks. Jaden Daniels has made some really good throws. And I think they're going to continue that momentum against an imperfect Cardinals team. They're 1-2. The Cardinals have some nice pieces themselves. They're competitive, but I think the Commanders can dance with them and they'll come out with a victory because they just have that kind of momentum right now where they were able to beat a couple of teams. They'll do it again here.
I think that the Cardinals are going to come out with a victory. This is – Jaden Daniels is playing out of his mind, but I think Kyler Murray is also playing extremely good football. The Cardinals are – I mean, obviously, we're talking about Washington having an extremely good start to the season, but Arizona is playing really good ball in their own right. They took the Bills to the final play of the game. They blew out the Rams. I'm blanking on – who they played last week, but the point still stands.
They beat the Lions. I mean, they lost to the Lions.
They lost to the Lions, but they lost by a score. This is a Cardinals team that's a very fun team to watch and with a lot of offensive firepower. So I think this is going to be a shootout between both the Commies and the Cardinals, potentially 38-35 type of thing. They got the spread at 3.5. I think Washington covers, but give me the Cardinals.
This is probably going to be one of the more exciting games to watch, if I'm being real. Both these defenses, especially Washington's, aren't necessarily the best. And yeah, you have two young quarterbacks. I don't even know if you can call Kyler young anymore. He's a solid veteran, but it doesn't feel like that, but whatever. So, and Murray's playing really well, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is feasting, and you've seen how Jaden Daniels is now playing. Like, oh my God. At the end of the day, though, just because of the fact that the Cardinals can take the Bills down to the wire, they only lost to the Lions by a score, and they beat the pants off the Rams. I just think that they're showing they can hang with bigger opponents. So, honestly, give me the Cardinals against the Commies.
All right. I'll take the unpopular opinion on this one. I just think when I look at the Cardinals with Marvin Harrison Jr., it was a little disturbing how in a shootout they weren't able to get him the ball in week one. And then their offensive coordinator came out and said, we're struggling with figuring that out. They managed to figure it out, but something tells me that they're force feeding him the ball. They managed just 13 points against the Lions, and they beat up on a Rams defense that is one of the worst in the league. I'm still going the Commanders, but I will acknowledge this is going to be a fun game to watch. One of the more underrated matchups of week four. All right. Our next matchup, let me get back over to the main page here. We'll go the Cleveland Browns visiting the Vegas Raiders. Two teams that have played about as ugly ball as you could possibly see this season. And one of these teams is going to win a football game and go 2-2 to start the season, which feels weird because they've been playing worse ball than to be starting 2-2. Both sides. That being said, I think I'm going to take Cleveland. Proceed with caution on this one when you're making your game picks, because this is one that could go either way. Expect some ugly football. They're both playing football where it just feels like, oh, it's just bad. This is going to be an ugly matchup. I'm going to take Cleveland in this one because I just think they have more playmakers. But again, this is going to be an ugly game.
It's going to be an ugly one, but I'm going with the Raiders. Deshaun Watson is potentially the worst quarterback in the league right now. Better person than he is a quarterback, which is unfortunate to say. And if,
yeah,
if Deshaun Watson doesn't figure it out, then, and I don't think he's ever going to figure it out at this point. I mean, Gardner Minshew has more passing yards and a better completion percentage than this bum, which is insane. Like, I would take Daniel Jones over Deshaun Watson because of how bad he's playing. So give me the Raiders.
The fact that it's hard for me to dispute that, too.
Yeah. I have to go with the Raiders. And honestly, Deshaun Watson isn't just a bad quarterback. He is a black hole on this team. Not only is he a media distraction, he's just this vortex of suck that will make everything around him terrible. In fact, I wouldn't be shocked if he outright cost Kevin Stefanski his job. It's not Stefanski's fault. It's the fact that their GM just said, just woke up one morning, probably smoked crack and said, here's a bright idea. Let's just trade our future for Deshaun Watson and give him boatloads of cash. Now you got to have the Raiders because at least Minshew can be serviceable. I mean, that's literally what it comes down to. But overall, this is going to be like watching two babies have a tickle fight. And let me tell you something. Remember how we said the other, how the Cardinals and Commies is going to be an underrated game, right? This is going to be a game. It's going to be a game, all right. It's going to be one of the games, some would say. But
this will be one of the games of week four. One of the games of all time.
It's certainly a game. And that is the nicest thing I will say about it.
And the fact that the GM, who was their current GM, is the star, one of the stars of the Moneyball movie, moved on to football and then kind of built this team back up, the Browns, and then somehow managed to give one of the worst contracts of all time to a quarterback. It may cost him his job too.
It should, more so than Stefanski, I think.
I would say so, but I mean, he's, for all the bad that he's done more good, I would say. He's built up this Cleveland Browns roster over the past few years since they were a complete suck fest. All right, here's our next one. This is, on paper, it looks like a better matchup than it is, but the Kansas City Chiefs at the LA Chargers. The Chiefs are 3-0, Chargers 2-1, but even when the Chargers had Herbert healthy, which they probably won't even have him this week, I mean, I still can't – that the cupboard is bare there with the Chargers. They need some weapons. And Justin Herbert can't do it all by himself. He just can't. No quarterback can. You need something to throw to at the end of the day, and they just don't have that right now. They've been leaning on a very good running game and decent players, just decent production from their pass catches. But you need better than decent – for Justin Herbert to throw to. And Herbert probably isn't going to play this week. The Chiefs get away with another close one. They go 4-0.
I'm going to agree. Chiefs are going to win this game. I think they'll definitely well cover this, especially if Justin Herbert doesn't play. And all signs are kind of leaning that way. Limited at practice yesterday, and we'll get one of the final injury reports for today. Later on after this podcast, after we get done recording, but
which is unfortunate because it could impact our game status.
Well, regardless, it's going to be, for me, it's the Chiefs. And if Herbert's out, then Chiefs by a billion.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Oh yeah. How can it not be the Chiefs? That's my question. Not even how is it the Chiefs? How can it not be? I mean, even if Herbert's playing, he's going to be playing hurt, right? And on top of that, Joe Alt is apparently banged up. And Derwin James got suspended because, you know, league's got to soften up all the Chiefs' opponents before they play them. That's neither here nor there. But, yeah, it's got to be the Chiefs. And honestly, because the Chiefs – I mean, look, Adam said about the Bengals, don't let the 0-3 record fool you. For the Chiefs, I'd say don't let the 3-0 record fool you. They've been ugly. They not pass the eye test at all. And I was like, the stats over the eye test, to which I say, shut up. That's literally just my, that's literally my comeback. Just, shut up. Don't care. We done with the stats. It's eye test time, kids. But yeah, no, I'm sorry. The Chiefs have been playing some really ugly ball. They're literally three plays away from arguably being 0-3 or at least 1-2. So that being said, I still got to go with the Chiefs just because the Chargers, like I said, literally might not have Herbert. And even if they do have him, he's playing hurt. So, even if he's healthy, who does he have to throw to? Ladd McConkey? I think not.
Yeah. Okay. So, the Chiefs, they may lose a few games later on this season, but I just don't think it's going to be this week. We're going to skip for now our Sunday Night Football matchup because we saved that for our matchup of the week that we'll preview more in depth than just giving it a quick game recap, quick game pick. We're going to go to our Monday Night Football matchups. We're going to start with a 7:30 game, which is the Tennessee Titans at the Miami Dolphins. Give me the Dolphins, but not in a good way. In other words, this team, I'm not convinced that this team is even a playoff team, but the Titans are just so bad that the Dolphins just, you can't not pick the Dolphins right now. So give me the Dolphins in this one. You're muted.
Sorry. I don't know how you can pick the Dolphins right now. Like Skylar Thompson being your quarterback. I think he's hurt. Yeah, he's hurt, but regardless of who you have in at quarterback, like how can you pick the Dolphins? The way they played with anyone but Tua last week against Seattle was terrible.
Will Levis is why.
Will Levis is probably going to have himself a field day, just like he did last year on Monday Night. You know what's crazy? Monday Night Football between the Dolphins and the Titans again in Miami. Same time, same place. This is going to be Will Levis all the way because Tennessee's defense is still pretty good. Give me the Titans. This is easy. I don't know how you can expect a Miami Dolphins quarterback to put up a good game after what we saw from last week.
Yeah.
I'll follow up after CJ's done.
How the hell is one supposed to pick? Because we could talk bad about Skylar Thompson all we want, but we need to confront the facts head on. They might not have Skylar Thompson, which means we're down to the world's softest Pro Bowler in Tyler Huntley or
Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle, a.k.a. the NFL's diversity. Not even that. I would call Tim Boyle the nepotism hire because he's only in the league because he's buddy-buddy with Aaron Rodgers. So, and not even that. You said then you got Will Levis, who is a better meme than he is a quarterback. Every week, the highlight of the Titans playing is that we get a new embarrassing photo of Will Levis.
Yep.
Whoever wins this game, I'll tell you what, the fans of both teams will lose. This is who wants it less. And honestly, Jesus Christ, I don't know. I mean, I guess God help me for saying this. I trust Tyler Huntley, he may be a soft Pro Bowler, but just a tiny, tiny bit more than I trust the Mayo Man himself. For the sole reason of Miami is loaded. They have so much talent. But this is a coin flip, but I'm just tilting towards Miami. Tilt, I tell you.
For me, it's just like, just see the way that you had the backups. Like, I would have Tyler Huntley be the starter, but that's just me. And if Tyler Huntley is the starter, then Miami will win. But I just don't trust that they're going to have Tyler Huntley as the starter. They couldn't even get the ball to Tyreek.
All right, I'll follow up. I'll follow up here. If they just play mistake-free football, the Miami Dolphins, which I believe Mike McDaniel is capable of doing, just dumbing down the playbook for whoever is out there, because they've already, God knows, they've already had the practice of doing that with the amount of times they've had to put in a backup for Tua for the amount of times they've gotten him hurt. I believe that they will dumb down the playbook enough so that Skylar Thompson or Tyler Huntley will be able to get the ball to his playmakers on screen plays and allow Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle to rely on yards after catch in order to get them this victory. Because I just don't trust that Will Levis will play any sort of good ball ever. Because, again, the guy's just a flat-out douchebag. He doesn't know how to play good football. He's thrown some of the dumbest balls I have ever seen in my life. I'm going to double down and take the Miami Dolphins on this.
I don't know how his back quarterback play makes him a douchebag, but I think you could say he's playing like a douchebag, but I would say he's a douchebag.
The dude's a meathead. Come on. Show what I would take his bodybuilding advice over his football advice. I'll follow it up with that.
Mm. He is pretty yoked.
I mean, look, like I said, he's more known for the memes than he is his quarterback play. It's like,
Speaking of yoked, real quick, last night, my dad turns on the Thursday night game, and it was the one of many penalties that was called last night. And my dad goes, I don't know if it's just me, but the referees have been getting absolutely jacked. I was like,
hey, man.
You're not wrong. They're pretty. Some the head referees this, like especially this year, are absolutely yoked.
I mean, you gotta keep those arms limber for all the penalties they've been throwing. That's gotta be one reason.
Yeah. Land Clark yoked.
CJ started hitting the gym.
Did he?
Yeah, CJ started hitting the gym towards the end. Yeah.
I see you.
You can never tell because I'm a floating head on a screen, but yeah, a little bit.
Once you start going and you really start getting into it, it feels weird when you're not, and it just becomes an addiction. I love it.
Of course, the lump alarm has almost killed me three times, but.
All right. I don't know how we got into bodybuilding I kind of opened the door, but I'd rather trust Will Levis on that than actually playing quarterback, which says a lot since you are an NFL starting quarterback. And he makes, again, some of the dumbest decisions I have ever seen from a quarterback with as high expectations as he has, with the targets that he has, and with the defense that you have on the other side of the ball, too. And you somehow lose these games. You lost to the Bears in week one with Caleb Williams, who is still trying to figure out how to throw the football in the NFL. He could not get the ball down the field, and they somehow still lost 24-17. That is interesting to me. And you also lost to Malik Willis with the Green Bay Packers. Again, mistake-free football. If you can just play conservative ball and let Will Levis puke all over himself, I think you're winning this game. And I think that Mike McDaniel is going to do that because he already has experience with doing that with backups. He's already had to do it with the amount of times that they've gotten Tua hurt. All right. Last Monday night football game before we get to our matchup of the week, the Seattle Seahawks at the Detroit Lions. This is going to be a pretty good matchup. Two very competitive teams, the Seattle Seahawks, they may be 3-0, and they're also competitive. But I think the Lions are better than their 2-1 record indicates. They lost to another competitive team in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they only lost by one score in that game. So I'm going to take the Lions. I think, again, the Lions were my Super Bowl pick this year. And if you're a Super Bowl team, then you have to beat other playoff teams as well on your way there. And I think they're going to beat a good team. I think it's hard to find all of any sort of weakness on the Lions. They have a few shortcomings, but I think they have a good secondary that needs some time to mesh. And I think they have a capable quarterback in Jared Goff, who's proven time and time again to be a quarterback for a contending team. Give me the Lions.
I'm also going to go with the Lions here. I think the Lions have been a very good primetime team as of late. And Seattle has been playing very good ball in their own right. They've got an extremely good running game. But I just see the Lions taking this one. This is going to be a close one, as the spread suggests. I think this is going to be a Detroit by three type of game.
When it comes to Seattle, this is another case of don't let the 3-0 fool you, because you beat Denver, you beat Seattle, you beat the Dolphins without Tua turn the ball over. I'm so scared. Well, guess what, Miami? You're playing a real team, and that real team's name is the Lions, and I got the Lions winning.
Seattle.
Wait, what did I say?
You said Miami.
You said Miami. But
sorry, Whoa. I mean, sorry, you know, had a Tua moment, didn't I? Sorry, Seattle. I got the Lions, because now you got to go up against a real team. However, if Seattle does win this, we might have to have a conversation. But until then, I'm pounding the Lions. Wait, pause. Oh, that almost was
chill.
Bad. Oh, that was almost bad. But hey, whoa.
You know what they say. There ain't no party like a Diddy party. But
No Diddy. True.
So, all right. So I think we're all taking the Lions here. I like Seattle this year. Geno Smith is still a good quarterback. He's proven to continue his late career resurgence. And I'm rooting for the kid. I hope he continues to do well late in his career, after almost an entire career prior to being in Seattle, being a backup. So great stuff there. Either way, I'm taking the Lions because they're a contending team. All right, we're going to step aside, and we are going to cover the game of our matchup of the week, which is the Bills visiting the Ravens. This is a big matchup for both sides, and that's next. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Adam Wright, CJ Medeiros, Chris Kostich, our Rooski Game of the Week. We have the Buffalo Bills visiting the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens need this one bad. They cannot start 1-3 in the AFC North. And the Bills are having probably the best start, all things considered, the best start to their season that they've ever had. And the reason I'm saying that is because everything has gone right for this Bills team. They're 3-0 without Stephon Diggs or Gabe Davis. They've revamped their wide receiving core, not in a good way. And their offensive line has had the best few weeks that I have seen this Buffalo Bills team during the Josh Allen era. So they're riding a bit of a high here. Guys, thoughts on this matchup?
I think that this is going to be the Bills. This will be the Bills. And I saw a great take about this, and it was Marcus Spears on ESPN. He said they're not having him be the slashing four that needs to score every single point. They're having him run the point guard and having the offense run through him and not have him force everything, if that makes sense. And that's been working like a charm right now, because 7 touchdowns, no interceptions, no turnovers to begin with, which is insane to think about, because Josh Allen, everyone knows him as the guy that's had the most turnovers in the league since 2017, the year that he came into the league. And so far through the first 3 games, no turnovers. No Stephon Diggs, no Gabe Davis. And to be honest, hasn't really mattered, because Gabe Davis last year was nowhere to be found. Stephon Diggs was covered up, double teamed, and they couldn't even get the ball to him when they wanted to. And now he doesn't have freaking divas breathing down his neck so he can actually get the ball to where it needs to go. And on top of that, they're running the ball more. They actually have a run game. Bills actually have a run game now. And yeah, they're using Josh Allen through the run game, which they probably should be doing because he's a very, really good running. He's a really good running quarterback. Josh Allen also 75% completion percentage this year. It's, and the way that they've been playing on these primetime games is ridiculous. And the defense, even without some of their key starters, has been playing out of their mind. Give me the Bills.
So the Ravens are an interesting team. You know, backs against the wall here. You're 1-2. But I don't know what it is. Actually, I do know what it is. It's coaching. I no longer trust John Harbaugh. And I said this last episode, and Chris, you remember it. Adam says he's been listening into our stuff, so Adam should remember. It's like, but Harbaugh's got the Super Bowl. I'm starting to think that Super Bowl year might be the exception and not the rule. Because I just, the fact that you have Lamar Jackson, you got Derrick Henry, and all of them, like, you're just, and you know, but you're not getting Mark Andrews involved. You are stunting Zay Flowers. Your defense is uninspiring. What the hell is going on? Seriously, I have no idea what to tell you anymore. And then, of course, there's the Bills. I do not think Sean McDermott's a good coach. I've been over that. But the way Allen, because this is an Allen thing, not a McDermott thing. Josh Allen is single-handedly saving Sean McDermott's job. The way Allen has transformed the offense into being more dinks and dunks, live to fight another down instead of just, you know, just chucking the ball all over the yard like it's Thanksgiving Day with your family. And, you know, they're actually making smart decisions instead of trying to get the chunk play every time. That is inspiring. And the Buffalo defense has held up solidly, I guess, better than what I thought they would have. But I am leaning towards, I'm not going to lie, I'm leaning towards Buffalo here. However, I think it's going to be close. And if Buffalo does end up winning, we're going to need to have a conversation about John Harbaugh's future. But I could definitely see any argument for the Ravens, but I'm tilting towards Buffalo.
Yeah, I just think the Ravens are, they're better than their record indicates. And if you look at it, they had a convincing win over the Cowboys last week. Yes, they lost in upset fashion to the Raiders, but again, any given Sunday, and they only lost by 3.
I wouldn't even consider on top of them, that. I'm sorry to cut you off. I wouldn't even consider the game last week to be convincing fashion, the way they almost freaking blew it in the fourth quarter. Like, and that's what the Ravens have been known for the last 5 years, is just consistently blowing these leads when they have no business doing so.
I think it's convincing enough. You look, it was the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys are probably going to be a playoff team in their own rights.
Yeah, and if you gave the Cowboys one more drive in that game, they're coming away with the win.
Yeah, but they didn't. They won.
They
the
didn't because they ran it. Yeah, they didn't because they ran out of time. But geez, the Ravens blew it. They almost blew it.
They almost did, but they didn't. Also look at their game against the Chiefs. They were just inches away from that being an overtime game. On a throw to Isaiah Likely in the back of the end zone, that was almost a completion for a touchdown. And there you go. Then you have overtime, and we may be talking about this Ravens team as a 2-1 team rather than a 1-2 team. Or just look at the game that they blew to the Raiders. That's a game they could have won. It's early season football, and I think this Ravens team is 1-2, but I think they're better than the record indicates, and I think we're going to see that against the Bills this week. I don't think the Bills are as good as we believe. I think with a lack thereof of really true number one targets there, I think that's eventually going to catch up with them. They're going to win this division most likely, but they're still missing some players. So eventually this high is eventually going to peter out. They're 3-0, but Do you really expect this to last the entire season? I just don't think so.
I think it will. I think it will. I mean, geez, like Josh Allen's played out of his mind right now. They don't even need a number one target.
I don't dispute that, but you can only do that for so long.
You know, Chris,
I think we'll do it for so long last year.
Okay, whoa, Chris, you did not just compare Josh Allen to Patrick Mahomes. Look, I'm on your side, but like, dude, so the thing is, Adam's right, but funny, but I mean, I think he's correct, but I think it's just gonna come later, just solely because, like, I know about the Ravens and like what's going on, but. That whole thing with Dallas really spooked me. You saw what happened. They almost choked, and Harbaugh has a whole thing for choking. I just think if the Ravens' defense was a little better, I would say maybe. But, I mean, I think the Bills' downfall is coming, but probably not this week.
Shit, the Ravens can't even get Mark Andrews involved in the offense.
Yeah, that's true. That's another reason why. It's like
Mark Andrews isn't even getting snaps. He's not even getting snaps.
He only played through the snaps last week, for those of you wondering at home. I think I saw that somewhere.
Right. Well, they have Zay Flowers. They have Rashad Bateman. Isaiah Likely has been coming into his own as a tight end. And, again, they also have Derrick Henry. I think this Ravens team is going to be a playoff team. I think they're most likely going to win the division at this point. They're playing the best out of the entire AFC North, I believe. So – I'm still taking the Ravens in this one. They have a must win. They're hosting the game. A couple of the Bills, I just got an update. A couple of the Bills' best defensive backs are out this week. Taron Johnson, most notably. Ooh. He's most likely going to be out. I'm not disputing that the Bills are having a great start to the season. I'm just saying that I don't think it's as good as I don't think it's this season is going to be as good as this first three games indicates, because they are a little bit shorthanded this season. They're going to probably win the division. The Bills are probably going to finish 11-6 at worst. But I also think this Ravens team is probably going to be a division winner. You can't win them all.
I also think that this Ravens team is going to be a division winner, and I just don't think that the way that the Ravens are playing right now is going to be up to par to how the Bills are playing right now.
Sure, but I just don't think it's going to last. I don't think like the way they've been playing is as good as we indicated.
Like you mentioned the Bills being battered on defense. They've been battered on defense. That's the thing. They've been battered, and they're still whomping teams. Look at the way they whomp the Miami Dolphins. They couldn't do anything on offense.
Right, because they had their quarterback knocked out.
Tua was knocked out like late in the game. It was like fourth quarter. And you got to remember, Tua for that game didn't even eclipse 200 passing yards, and he had three picks.
I don't even have the most faith in Tua either. But
yeah, I don't either.
And then the Jaguars, who are reeling on offense, as much as they have the personnel, they just – I don't know what the hell's going on with them.
That's coaching, dude. Jacksonville, that is coaching. And you cannot convince me otherwise.
Sure. But if it's not coaching, then they have an even bigger problem on their hands. And then you also had the Arizona Cardinals that you had to dance with. Again, a Cardinals team that struggled to – in week one against the Bills, struggled to get their best pass catcher involved. Who was the mule that they had as their number one receiver? It was Greg Dortch, who at this point in the season now has 93 yards of offense. 47 of those, literally half, came in week one.
Greg Dortch, haven't heard that one in a while.
So
I literally heard it last week. What do you mean? That's what I was doing.
So like, I'm sorry. I'm taking the Ravens in this one. I'm not saying that the Bills aren't playing really good football. I'm not saying that the Ravens have been flawed this season, but are still also playing pretty good football. Lost every game that they've lost by one score. And one of those was to the reigning champion Kansas City Chiefs. So they have a must win. They're hosting the game. The Bills are still beat up on defense. And looking at the Bills' opponents, the Which Jaguars
beat up on defense.
Jaguars, Dolphins, Cardinals. This is their toughest test this season so far.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing to look at. I'm taking the Ravens on this one.
Well, we'll All see. Right.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Hour and 20 minutes. All right. Well, do we have any other thoughts before we end the show tonight?
Nope.
No, not really.
Yeah. So another week of football, another week of game picks. I went 8-6 last week on my picks. It was very mediocre week, but very mediocre past few weeks. It just goes to show how hard it is to correctly kind of predict football, because you don't realize how real any given Sunday is until you put up your game picks, and then you realize how little you actually are able to predict the future. But anyways, that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and Fridays at 5. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast and our TikTok at FumbleRooskiPod to keep up with our podcasts and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.